Good morning. It's good to see all of you out this morning. Good to have Andy Scott back with us today. If you have a chance, make sure you talk with him. He'll be with us tonight as well, and he'll be sharing what's been going on in Boston and how God has been using him, as well as many others, to proclaim his word. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins and take a quick look at the announcements. We have our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. We have our Bible studies on Tuesday night at 7 here at the church. And then Wednesday night, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. So I encourage you to come to all of those things if possible. We've already welcomed Andy back, so it's good to have him. This coming fifth Sunday, August 29th, we're going to do something just a little bit different. How many of you like to do things that are a little bit different? Very good. I'm glad to see that. We're going to have our normal Sunday school and our normal AM worship, but then after that, we're going to have a picnic. Lord willing, if the weather is nice, there's not a huge thunderstorm or anything like that. But we're going to go just down the road on Broadway to the Nordville community area. There's a little park there with a pavilion. And so the plan is to go there and have a picnic. There's a sign-up sheet on the back on the bulletin board with a little bit more info. But take a look at that and sign up, and it should be a great time. And then instead of having an evening service, we're just going to have an outdoor afternoon service. Outside. Hopefully it's a little bit cool with a nice breeze, and that's the plan, and it should be a great time. So that's this August 29th. And then also we have Dan Knox's current address down at the very bottom of the bulletin, so keep that in mind also, and be praying for Dan as he soon will be going to Afghanistan. I believe that is all of our announcements. Very good to see all of you this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us here this morning, and we do thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, we have nothing. We thank you that Jesus died for us, he was buried, he rose again the third day. And we praise you that whoever believes on Jesus Christ has eternal life. Their sins are washed white as snow, and we can never thank you enough for that. So I thank you for bringing us here together this morning as a group of believers. I do pray that you'd help us as we worship you and glorify your name. I pray that our minds would be focused solely upon you. I do thank you for the privilege it is to pray to you, that through Jesus Christ we have open access to your throne. I do even pray for some of those that have been going through hard times this week. I know many have been affected by the floods, the water in the basement, and whatever else. I do pray that you'd comfort them, give them strength. I do pray that you'd even help them get through all of the arrangements that still have to be made. But I thank you that during times like this, we can look to you and we can trust you. And I pray that we'd even draw closer to you, that our faith would be strengthened. And so I do even pray for some of those who are struggling with their health too. I know there are many that are having coughs or colds or other sicknesses as well. Pray that you'd comfort them and pray that you'd heal them according to your perfect plan and will. I do thank you for the privilege it is to be here this morning, to be encouraged by your word and be challenged, to sing songs of praise to you, to fellowship. And so I do pray that our minds would be focused upon you, that would be glorifying you. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together this morning as we begin. Take your psalm books and turn to number 511. 511, now I belong to Jesus.
Good morning. If you open up your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 148, that is where our scripture reading will be this morning. Psalm number 148. And starting in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord.
And just read of the Lord and how his sufficiency, and by that we mean that he is everything, all we need. Look at 460, all the way my Savior leads me. That first verse, it says, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. Now listen to this. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Have you thought about that? Is this true in your life? Is it true that in your heart you know that the only thing you need is Jesus Christ? We have all these things, especially in this nation, this country, we have so many things. We have so many, even we can glorify in our strengths and our accomplishments, but do we need those things? Or do we only need Jesus Christ? All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? And if the answer in your heart is nothing, then you're in the right place. Let's sing, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, 460. 5, as you turn there, think about it. Has Jesus led you all the way? Are you yearning for that? Or are we often yearning to go our own way? And contemplate which is better. Let's go on to 295, revive us again. We praise you, O God, for the Son of that love. This time we're going to have our weekly chorus. I trust you have, unless we want to do the offering first. We can do the offering first. Come on up. It's all right. We'll break up the singing a little bit. There's been a lot of flooding recently, and maybe some of you have noticed. Maybe some of you have seen it in your basements. I hope you didn't lose anything. But it is a great lesson, if you did, that everything we have is Christ's. And it's a great check when you lose it, if you lost anything. If it was really painful, then you were probably hanging on to it too much. You hadn't given it to the Lord. This morning we come to give. We're basically, the purpose of it, first of all, it is to support the ministry. It's true. But at the same time, it's an act of worship demonstrating to the Lord, and I know I say this almost every week, that what we have is His already. And that is why we give, because we're worshiping the Lord in the fact that what we have is His, and we demonstrate that by giving to the ministry. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray, Lord, that our lives would be all about Jesus Christ. And Father, as we have sang already this morning, Father, that He would be our all in all, that He would be everything to us. Father, that Jesus Christ would be all we need and nothing else, nothing added. Father, that we would see the things that You have blessed us with, these possessions, and even our health, our bodies, Father, as things to be used in Your service, Lord, and as soon as You require from us, Father, to rejoice, Father, for the blessed time that we had them, and even more so, Lord, for the fact, Lord, that now without them we are able to now rely on You, Yourself, more without the use of them. So, Father, I pray that we would give today generously, not out of compulsion, Lord, but because, Father, we want to worship You with all that we are. And so, Lord, I pray that with rejoicing we would give our offering, and, Father, that it would not be wasted by those who take stewardship of it, but, Father, it would be used completely and wholly for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right. I trust you do have one of these song sheets for our weekly hymn. Speak, O Lord. If you don't, just slip your hand up real quick, and an usher will get one for you. We have one down here. I trust that you've become well acquainted with this song, Speak, O Lord. It is a wonderful, wonderful hymn. It was written recently, but the words are rich with Scripture truth. And in fact, if you notice, it is actually about Scripture. It says, Speak, O Lord, but it's talking about speaking, Lord, through His Word. And then it goes on to talk about how it does and what it's like and everything else. Let's sing, Speak, O Lord. Of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace will stand on your promises. Do you realize that having accepted Jesus Christ, it's not just for this life, that in the next life, when we finally reach heaven and are with Him face to face, we'll still be relying on His promises, that the promises He made will continue throughout eternity. When we're in heaven, even though the hardships of this life will be gone, and we'll be living apart from sin, yet still we'll be clinging to the promises made in God's Word, that we'll have a home with Him for eternity. Isn't that incredible? The promises God made in His Word will stand forever. There's never a time when they'll cease. And because of that, we can trust Jesus. So let's turn to 355, Trusting Jesus. And let's sing Simply Trusting every day. Let's stand together as this is our last song in our worship service. Let's sing out 355.
Even when
seated.
Amen. I hope that you're trusting Jesus Christ this morning. I know there's all types of trials and difficulties that come into our paths every day. But yet, we must trust Jesus no matter what. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can trust Jesus, that Jesus is someone that will never let us down. He is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I do pray, even as we look into your word, as we just stand in awe concerning who you are, I pray that you'd help us to have a better idea of how glorious you are. Help us to just to bow down and worship to you. So we do pray all of these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I'm a person that likes to ask questions. How many of you like to ask questions? I think most of us ask questions, whether we like to ask them or not, I'm not sure. Now, I don't know why I like to ask questions so much, but perhaps it's because, first of all, I like to find out what people think. And second of all, I'm not much of a talker myself. And so if I ask people questions, then that means they're probably going to talk, right? And so that means I can listen and they can talk. And so I ask questions. But yet, it's important to ask questions, isn't it? If you want to find out what people are thinking and what's going on through their mind, what they believe and how they feel. And so I have a question for you this morning. Actually, a couple of them, but I'm going to focus in on, I guess a couple of them. But I really want you to think about this, even though it may seem a little bit strange. The question is, why are you at church this morning? Just think about that. Why are you here this morning at church? And then a closely related question, what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? And so why are you here this morning? And what is the purpose of the church? Now there's a lot of people that go to church, right? Yeah, you go around on a Sunday and there's a lot of people that go to church. Although not as many as in years past, decades past, but there's still a lot of people that go to church. There's a lot of churches that you can go to. But are all churches the same? And the answer is no, not all churches are the same. Not all churches are created equal. Now, if we could have a poll of churchgoers as to why they go to church, what do you think the top 7 or 8 responses would be? And I actually looked this up on the internet. I found a Gallup poll. It was taken in March of 2007. And here are the responses as far as why do you go to church? And I'm going to list them from greatest to least as far as the greatest number of people said this one first, and then it goes on down. And then we'll kind of look at these in a little bit more detail before going to the Word of God. The first one was for spiritual growth and guidance. 23% said, I go to church because I want to grow spiritually and I want to be guided. Next down on the list, keeps me grounded or inspired. Thirdly, it's my faith. Fourthly, to worship God. Fifthly, the fellowship of other members or the community. Next on the list, believe in God or believe in religion. The next one down, brought up that way, or it's a family value or it's tradition. And then 4% said other. 1% said no reason in particular. And then there are just a fraction that said no opinion at all. And so as we look at those responses, they really aren't that earth-shattering, are they? We probably would respond in one of those ways as far as why we go to church. The majority said they go to church for spiritual growth and guidance. And you know what? That's a good reason to go to church, isn't it? To be guided spiritually, to grow spiritually. But we do have to qualify that because not all churches are able to provide an environment in which you grow spiritually. Not all churches ground and guide their people as they should. Not all churches guide people down the right path, do they? And so we have to be very careful. Most churches, probably all churches, would claim to provide some type of a spiritual benefit, right? Otherwise, why would they call themselves a church? But only a small percentage of all churches actually help people spiritually. A lot of them hinder people spiritually. Things to think about. 20% said that the church keeps them grounded or inspired. And once again, we have to ask the questions, what is the church grounding you in? What is the church grounding you in? And what is it inspiring you to think or to do? And we should be grounded in the truth. But sadly, many churches fail to ground them in the truth. Oftentimes they ground people in error instead of in the truth. Going to church seems to be a good place to get inspired, and it seems like a good thing to get inspired, but you know what? Going to church should be more than just getting a warm, fuzzy feeling. Okay, that's not the only... is that really even a desire, a good desire, as far as getting a warm, fuzzy feeling? It's not just to get an encouraging pep talk. Why do we go to church? Going to church should involve an encounter with God, right? To be faced with His holiness. To come face to face with who He is and what He desires us to do. 15% said, well, it's my faith. But once again, what is your faith? 15% says, to worship God. And that's good as long as you are worshiping the God of the Bible, first of all. As long as you're worshiping God through His Son, Jesus Christ. As long as you're worshiping Him in spirit and truth. 13% said, the fellowship of other members or the community. And fellowship truly is an important part of going to church. But who are you fellowshipping with? And truly, either you fellowship with believers who are living for the Lord, or you're fellowshipping with unbelievers, or you're fellowshipping with those who are straying from the faith. Who are you fellowshipping with? 12% said, believe in God or believe in religion. But what do they mean by saying, I believe in God? Most everyone, if you ask them, do you believe in God? They're going to say yes. But do you believe in Jesus Christ, who is the perfect revealer of God the Father? And if you say, well, I go to church just because I believe in religion, wow, that's pretty sad, isn't it? If you just believe in religion and not in the person of Jesus Christ. 12% said, well, I was brought up that way, or it's a family value, or it's tradition. And you know what it is? It is a blessing to be brought up in a good church, in a Bible-believing church. That's a good family value. But yet, if that's the only reason why you're going to church is because I was brought up that way, or that's what my family did, or that's tradition, and there's not something deeper, then what good is it to go to church? Going to church should be because Jesus Christ has changed your life, and you desire personally to go to church, not because my family does, although it's great if your family does, but it's because you desire to, because of God changing your life. 4% gave other reasons. 1% had no, or under percent, one, or I guess, yeah, 1% had no particular reason. So the question this morning is, why are you here? Why do you go to church? Is it because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it because you have a desire to grow closer to Him? And to be built up together into the image of Jesus Christ? Is it because that's just what you've always done? Because that's the way your family brought you up? Because that is just tradition? Or because it's just a social activity where you can get together with your friends? Or is it just because that's what your spouse or your parents or your peers desire you to do? Is that why you're here at church? Or do you go to church because you think by going to church you're on a better standing with God, that somehow you get merit before God by going to church? Why do you go to church? Another question, why do you come to this church and not some other church? And once again we come back to the question, what is the purpose of this church? And very specifically, what is Norwoodville Baptist Church? What is Norwoodville Baptist Church? Well, you know what? Norwoodville Baptist Church is a group of people that have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. That is what Norwoodville Baptist Church, but that's not all. Yes, we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again the third day. But beyond that, we've responded to Jesus Christ and His commands, and we have been baptized. And not only that, we have joined together as a group of people to fellowship and to worship together. Born-again believers, baptized, bound together in fellowship. A local body of believers that forms Norwoodville Baptist Church. We are agreed in certain core beliefs. We are agreed in how we desire to live our lives. We are agreed as to how we will operate as a local church. And we are led by a pastor who is a spiritual leader. And so Nordville Baptist Church, it's not the building, okay? It's not just simply a building where people get together. No. It's not simply an organization. Nordville Baptist Church is a group of people that meet together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, to give Him the glory. We have a common belief. We have a common goal. We have a common purpose. That is what Nordville Baptist Church is. So what is the purpose of Nordville Baptist Church? Why do we exist? The purpose of Nordville Baptist Church is to glorify God and to worship Him in spirit and truth. That is why we exist, to glorify God and to worship Him in spirit and truth. That's why this church was formed. That is why we built this building. That is why we do everything we do. That is the goal anyway, to glorify God, to worship Him in spirit and truth. And so if you're a member of Nordville Baptist Church, I hope that's the reason why you are here this morning. To glorify God, to worship Him in spirit and truth. If you're not a member, I hope that's still your desire in being here this morning. To worship God and to glorify His holy name. If you're not a member of a church that has that desire, I encourage you to become a member of a church that has the desire to glorify God, to worship Him in spirit and truth. This morning we want to focus on the glory of God and the part that this church plays in giving glory to God. Have you ever thought about God and His glory? How often do you just think about God and His majesty? Truly, God is the only one that can be called intrinsically glorious. He is the only one that is altogether majestic and glorious. Someone has said, glory belongs to God as light and heat belong to the sun. And whenever we think of glory, what do we think? Usually we think of a bright, shiny light, something that we can't even look at. Something that is so bright and full of light, we can't even look at it head on. And truly, God does have a splendor that is beyond all else, a radiance and a brightness that no mortal could ever bear to look upon. But yet there's more to God's glory than that. It's not that God is just bright, exceedingly bright, but He is great, He is incomparable, He is majestic. He has an honor that no one else has, that nothing else could possibly compare to. There is no one and nothing that compares to our God. He is glorious. He is transcendent, totally set apart from all other things.
Amen.
He is in a class of His own. There was a song at one time that God is one of us or something like that. But yet, God is so much higher than us. He is glorious and holy. But yet God has chosen to bend down and have mercy and compassion upon us who are sinners, who have fallen short of His glory. And so we think about the glory of God. We go to the book of Exodus. We're going to go through several passages this morning to just be confronted by the glory of God. He is absolutely holy. Absolutely beyond compare. We come to chapter 24 of Exodus, and God appeared to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. And we come to chapter 24 and verses 16 and 17. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And so God displayed His glory to the children of Israel by a consuming fire upon the Mount Sinai. Could you imagine that, being the children of Israel and viewing that incomparable sight? Viewing the glory of God. And yet that wasn't even the full glory of God. But that's just how God displayed that glory. And Moses eventually went up Mount Sinai, and Moses even asked to see God in His fullness. And we come to Exodus chapter 33, Moses asked of God to see his glory. Exodus 33, verses 18 through 23. Wouldn't you love to be able to talk with God and say, Lord, I want to see your glory. How does the Lord respond? The Lord, all-knowing and all-compassionate, he knew how to respond. We read in verse 18, Moses says, please show me your glory. Then he said, the Lord responded, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And so even though God is so glorious, yet he reaches down to have compassion upon sinful men, men who have fallen short of his glory. We come to verse 20. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. No mortal man can bear the sight of the full glory of God. And that's what God told Moses. You can't look upon my face. It is too much for you. But Moses was privileged to see what is called the backside of God. The after effects of his glory. And what a sight that would have been. The psalmist says in Psalm 24, verses 7 and 8, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The Lord truly is the King of glory. There is no other like him. He himself is glorious beyond compare. And he has shown his glory, he has made it known, really by what he has created. And he has even shown it to us, his creation. And he desires that all who sees his glory would bow down and worship him. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. God is glorious. And everything that he has made truly, in one way or another, displays his glory. Every mortal man and woman and child realizes there is a God and that he is a glorious God. And God desires that they would bow down and give him the glory. And that's what David calls upon the people to do in Psalm 29. Psalm 29 verses 1 through 3. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. So all people should give glory to God because he is glorious. He deserves glory. That's what he demands. But yet do people give God the glory? Do people give God the glory? And by and large, people do not give God the glory. They do not make the choice to give him the praise and the honor. Fallen men, sinners, make the choice to turn their backs on God and to instead give glory to someone else or something else. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. The saddest state of man here, fallen man. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every single person in this world realizes there is a mighty and a powerful and a glorious God. But what do we see in verse 21? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. And truly, as we look around us, we can see so clearly how fallen mankind has turned their backs upon God, the one who is all glorious, and instead they have made gods for themselves, whether it's themselves or some other man or some idol. And they give those things the glory instead of the one to whom it is due, Almighty God. That's how the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, operates. Giving the glory to things that do not deserve it. Giving glory to wickedness rather than to the one who is good and right and just. But even though we live in the midst of a dark world, and this dark world is not giving the glory to God, God is faithful. And God has put for Himself within this dark world, He has put for Himself a witness, a testimony. And really throughout all the ages, He has left Himself witnesses to His glory. Remember Enoch, who walked with God and was not? He gave glory to God. Remember Noah? He alone was called a just man in the midst of his crooked and perverse generation. Abraham gave God the glory. And from Abraham's descendants, we have the nation of Israel. And God desired the nation of Israel to give glory to Him and to really tell the world, far and wide, that there is a glorious God to whom all praise and worship should be given. But as we look at the nation of Israel, did they do what God desired them to do? Did they give Him the glory? And did they proclaim His goodness throughout the nations, saying, you must give glory to God? And sadly, the nation of Israel fell short of where God wanted them to be. And they did not give the glory to God. And whenever Jesus Christ came and declared the Father to them, they turned their back on Him and crucified the Lord of glory. And so God temporarily set aside the nation of Israel, and He chose to form the church, an entity that would give God the glory. And today we are privileged to be a part of His church. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, that He died for you, He was buried, He rose again. If you have believed in Him as your Savior, you are a part of the church. And it is God's plan for the church that it would glorify God in the greatest way. We read all throughout the New Testament how the church glorifies the Lord Jesus, how it glorifies the true and living God. And we are just going to look at a few of them this morning, and we'll be looking at them in more detail in weeks to come. By our very salvation, the moment we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are giving glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with me. Whenever God saves us, it is all of God. He deserves all the glory. There is nothing that we as humans can lay claim to. There is nothing that we can glory in. The glory deserves or goes to God. He deserves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 31. By our very salvation, God is glorified. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And so if you are saved this morning, you can give the glory to God. God is glorified greatly whenever He saves men and women for Himself. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, and we see this all throughout the New Testament. I've just chosen a few. But our salvation glorifies God. It lifts up His name. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And we could go all throughout the book of Ephesians, and you'd see time and time again, whenever God saved you, whenever He showered all of these blessings upon you, it is to the praise of the glory of His grace, God's grace. All glory go to God who has saved us. as believers, not only has He saved us, but He has entrusted us with a special message. That same gospel, we are to proclaim it far and wide. And as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, God is glorified. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. As we preach the message of Jesus Christ, God's name is glorified. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. God has chosen to use us to proclaim His glory through Jesus Christ. He wants us to tell lost people far and wide that Jesus Christ has died for you. And as we proclaim that message, the glory, it doesn't go to us, the glory goes to God.
Amen.
That's what God's desire is. But He wants to use us. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Time and time again we see this. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God desires us to share the good news. The light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How else does the church glorify God? We go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Whenever we give of our possessions to help those in need, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, that glorifies God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who is also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord Himself, and to show your ready mind. And so as we give willingly to those who are in need, as we give willingly to the Lord, God is glorified. Praise the Lord for that. We come to Philippians chapter 1. As we live our lives for Jesus, as we surrender to Him, as our lives are filled with the fruit of righteousness, God is glorified. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. As we live for Jesus, as we die to self, God is glorified. That is what God has called us to. As individuals, as members of His church universal, and also as members of a local church. As we use our spiritual gifts, God has given us at least one spiritual gift, and many more in many instances. He has given us those gifts to use for His glory and honor, so that others can be encouraged and uplifted. We come to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11. As we use our spiritual gifts, God is glorified. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you're a born-again believer, if you've trusted in Jesus, God has given you at least one gift, and probably many more. And we're to use those gifts. We come to verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Truly, in all things, God should receive the glory. And God truly will receive the glory, no matter what. Whether it's good things that happen, or whether it's even things that sinners do. Ultimately, God will receive the glory through all things. But we should have the desire as believers to live for Jesus Christ, to obey Him, so that He is glorified by our obedience. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 29, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So we've seen specific things that we can do to glorify God, but really our whole lives should be lived for the glory of God. To give His name praise and honor, to make God a famous God. As we think about living a life of giving glory to God, we must realize God has a plan for this age, and His plan is the church. And truly, God desires born-again believers to be a part of His church, to be part of a local church. Are we living to glorify God as He desires us to? And so in the weeks to come, we're going to look at specific areas, how we can glorify God as a part of His church. And truly, we should have the desire to be used of God in whatever way He sees fit, to declare His praises by whatever we say, whatever we do, even by who we are. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, "Good words to close with. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Is that your heart's desire this morning? To give glory to God by our lives. To give glory to God forever and ever. I hope you have that desire this morning. Heavenly Father, I do pray that You'd help us to give You glory by obeying Your word, by living for You. I pray that as a group of believers, as Nordville Baptist Church, we would have that desire to glorify You by sharing the gospel, by giving of our possessions, by ministering, using our spiritual gifts, by so many other things, by prayer. I pray that we'd be glorifying Your name. I pray that Your name would be lifted up, that Your fame would go throughout this whole world, that everyone would realize how majestic and glorious You are. So we do pray all of these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Let's stand and close this morning with 527. 527, glory to His name.
To His name. Are you praising the Lord for saving you? Are you saved this morning? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? And if you have, are you living for Him in every way that He has shown you in His Word? Are you obeying Him? Are you dying to self? Are you living for His glory? Are you shouting and praising and singing glory to His name? I've been saved. I've been saved by Jesus Christ. And now I can live for Him and give Him the praise and the glory. All the glory goes to God. Nothing goes to us. Praise the Lord. Glory to His name.
Let's close with that third verse. Prayer this morning?
Sure. Say, dear God, I just want to thank You, Lord, because You are glorious, and we can see Your glory in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us. last week is that